as we stay in this moment, as we stay in this moment and the musicians continue to play, I want to direct your attention to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to read our scripture reading as you musicians play. And I'm going to ask you to rest on your feet as we read from the book of Matthew chapter 21. We're going to go from verses 33 to 43 as you rest on your feet. That's another way to say stand up. Another way to say stand. I'm going to stand as we read the scripture for today, found in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 through 43. And we're going to be reading from the New International Version. If you have it, let me hear you say amen. Just a few people, give you a little bit more time. Matthew chapter 21. I guess we also have it on the screen. Matthew chapter 21, reading from verses 33 through 43. And the Bible says, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a well around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time. And the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. I'll say that again. Last of all, he sent his son to them. One more time. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretched to a wretched end. They replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his fair share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is a marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we talk about fruit today, draw us closer to you. Let everyone say amen and amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. It's good to be back here amongst family, brothers and sisters. And since I'm here among family, is it okay if I just be a little bit vulnerable, a little bit transparent? Is that all right? I have to let you know, I'm feeling a certain way today. You have to understand that on last week, Saturday, I was in Huntsville, Alabama, taking my oldest child to Oakwood University. And it was an experience knowing that this young man that you have raised in your house for the last 18 years is now out of the house. And guess what? He may not return. He may be gone forever. So I was so emotional that on this Sabbath, I have two other kids. I forced them to come with me to church today. They're in the back there. My daughter, Kalia, and my youngest son, Caleb, you know, and they're looking a certain way because when they get that age, my daughter just turned 16 and my youngest son just turned 12, they're at the age that they don't even like hanging out with their parents anymore. So I see you mom and dads, you got your little toddlers, they're running after you, hugging onto your feet and holding on to you. Well, cherish that moment because it gets to a point in time when you say, let's hang out with your parents, they would rather not. They would rather hang out with their friends. And so I'm beginning to realize something, folks. I'm beginning to realize something. Guess what? I'm getting old. I'm getting old. You see, this year, I turned 50 years old. I turned 50. And when I say that, I think of that interview that Kevin Hart had with Don Cheadle, right? And Don Cheadle told Kevin Hart his age. And then Kevin Hart responded with that, with that thing that holds water back, right? And so every time I tell people I'm 50, I'm expecting to get that response because I'm feeling old. And there was a Cosby Show I watched, and when I was watching the Cosby Show, the kids were having their dad, Cliff, turn 50, and one of the kids said, "Dad, how do you feel knowing that half you have less than half of your life left, right? I may not live for another 50 years, so most of my life is over. So I'm feeling a certain way, and as I'm looking at my generation of individuals who grew up during my time, I'm seeing people who went to school with me, we're all turning 50 this year. And I'm looking at the people on my timeline in our generation, I'm coming to realize that many people cannot relate to us. The songs that we listen to are basically now old school songs. And as I'm looking at this verse talking about the fruit, an old school song came to mind. It's a song that came out in 1992. And in 1992, I was moving from Bermuda and coming to Orlando, going to a school called Forest Lake Academy as a dorm student. And in the summer of 92, this song came out. And in the summer of 92, my favorite song was some songs by Boyz II Men called Motown Philly. Anybody? Just a couple people. But there's another song that came out, right? And it basically came known as like the black woman's anthem. And it's a song that has a sampled beat from this group called Audio 2, and the song is called Top Billing. And it was written by these artists or these writers by the name of Corey Rooney and Mark Morales. Ever heard of these individuals? Mark Morales used to sing in a group called the Fat Boys. Ever heard of the Fat Boys? Oh, have mercy. Have mercy. Well, let me tell you the words of this song and see if you guys have ever heard it. If you know the song, when you get to the point when you know the song, feel free to start singing it, right? And so this young female artist says this: "We are lovers through and through, and though we made it through the storm, I really want you to realize, I really want you to put you on. I've been searching for someone to satisfy my every need. Won't you be my inspiration? Be the real love that I need." No one knows it yet. Thank you. What are you searching for? I'm searching for some real love. Some people know. I'm so glad I'm not. Somebody give her a microphone. Give her a microphone. And so as I'm looking at this song, I begin to see Jesus singing this song in terms of the parable that we just read. You know, he's looking for some real love. Searching for some what? Real love. Someone to do what? What's the words? Someone to set my heart free. Anybody been searching for some real love? One person raised their hand. Everybody else has found their real love. And so we've got this story now. So as I'm looking at the story, we go to Matthew chapter 21, verses 33, and it starts off by saying, listen to another parable. One thing that we need to understand about parables is that parables symbolize or illustrate things that are happening in real life. You're telling a story, but you're pointing to something that's happening in real life. Okay, for example, one of the most famous parables out there is the parable of the prodigal what? Prodigal son, right? You have a father and you have two what? Two sons. And the father symbolizes or represents God. Very good. And then you have the two sons. The one that went to the far country represents those people who left the what? Church. And you have the one who stayed home, which represents the one who stayed in the church. You follow me? Right? And then when he comes home, right, everybody, he comes into the house, and the house essentially represents the house of God or represents the church. All right, you guys are getting a little bit warm. So what we see in the story is something that's happening in what? Real life. So let's go ahead. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 21 and start at verse 33. If you can put it up on the board again, Matthew 21, verses 33. We're going to look at the symbolisms in this story and what they represent to us. Matthew chapter 21, verses 33, and I'm going to read in your hearing. And it says this. Listen to another parable. There was a what, everybody? Oh, you don't have it. There was a landowner, a what? Let's follow along to the class. Listen. What the first thing you need to do is what? Are you listening? I hope so. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner. A what? A landowner. A landowner is somebody that owns what? Land. And the landowner, remember this is a parable, so people and places represent other things. The landowner is symbolic of who? Landowner is symbolic of employers, or I heard it over here. You're whispering it. God or Jesus. So the landowner is God. Are you following me? This landowner represents who, everybody? God. So God planted a what? He planted a vineyard. He put a well around it, dug a wine press in it, and put a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. All right. So as we read this story, we understand that the landowner is who? I'm going to repeat it again. So we got that part done. And what did he do? He planted a vineyard. And so if he's planting a vineyard, what is he hoping to get from this vineyard? Fruit. He's hoping to get fruit from this vineyard. So let's find out, what does the vineyard represent? What does the vineyard represent? So I want you to turn into your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. What book did I say? Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. What chapter? And we're going to start in verse 2. Is it verse 2? Did I give you the right verse, or is it Isaiah 5? Maybe Isaiah 5. Oh, yes, Isaiah 5. I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And then we're going to jump all the way down to 7. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Then we'll jump down all the way to 7. All right. Let's read it together, so we're making sure everyone's paying attention. The Bible says, I will what? I will sing for the one I love. A song about his vineyard. Remember, right, I'm looking at the story from the point of Mary J. Blige singing the song, I'm searching for what? Real love. Jesus says he's got his song, and he's also searching for real love. Now, I will sing a song for the one I love, a song about this vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. Verse 2. He dug it up and cleaned it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as a well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded what? Only bad fruit. Do we see any similarities with what we read in Matthew chapter 21 with what we're seeing in Isaiah? All right, let me read it again to you guys. Let's go back. Let's go back to Isaiah 1 and 2. Got to make sure everyone's following along. We're going to teach this morning. I will sing for the one I love. I'm searching for a real love. A song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. Verse 2 says, he dug it up and cleared it of stones. Remember Matthew 21, verse 33 says he did what? He dug it. Remember that? And planted it with the choicest vines. And he also built a what? Watchtower in it and cut out a wine press. Didn't Matthew 21 also have a watchtower and a what? Wine press. But we still want to know, what does this vineyard represent? Let's go to verse 7. Just in case we need to see it clearly. Verse 7 says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice, but saw what? Bloodshed. So the vine and the vineyard represented who? Say that louder. Israel, the people of God. All righty. So in the text, the vineyard represented the people of God, the Israelites. So in today's day, the text says the vineyard represents who in today's day? The people of God. That's another name for the people of God. We all commune in the church. So would you say, or did the Bible just say, that the vineyard is the church? Are you following me? Right? We are God's what? Chosen people, right? And he compares us to a vineyard. So when the song says, I'm searching for a real love, Jesus, God is searching for a real love amongst his what? His people. Are you following me so far? All right, so let's look at this. So now we got a problem. We know what the vineyard is, right? Let's go back to Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew 21. Because what happens in the vineyard? What is he growing in the vineyard? The vines are going to produce what? Fruit, right? And someone said grapefruit or grapes? Grapes. Now let's just make sure. Matthew 21 verses 34. Verse 34 says this. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit, the text says. To collect his what? Fruit. God is looking for from his people. What is he looking from? What is he looking for from us? What does the text say? Fruit. He's looking for fruit. This is a parable. So everything here in here represents something else, represents something in real life. So far we know the landowner represents, the vineyard represents his people, right? So what does the fruit represent? Galatians 5:22. What does the fruit represent? Galatians 5:22. Y'all know it. Galatians 5:22. What does it say in Galatians 5:22? Read it to me, somebody. And the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, patience, joy. Remember the song? I'm searching for a what? Real love. I'm searching for fruit amongst my people. And so when he comes, the text says he rents it out. And he lets people watch over the land, and he gets a whole lot of fruit. Is that what the text says? Right? I mean, what else would you expect from church people? Chaplain's laughing. Right? What else would you expect from church people? So let's see what happened. Let's go to 35. Let's start reading 35. Matthew 21, 35. The tenant seized his servants. They built one, they beat one and did what? Killed another. And stoned a third. Verse 36, then he sent other servants. Have mercy. He sent out the first people. What happened to them? They got what? Beat. And they got stoned, right? Then he sent some more. More than the first time. And the tenants treated them the what? Same way. Last of all, he sent his son. They will respect my son, he said. Right? But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. Let me pause you right there. Remember, this is a parable. So everything that we read in a parable symbolizes something else. Who does the son symbolize? Jesus came to his church and he found grapes. Jesus came to his church and did what? He got what? He got killed. Did that really happen? Jesus came to his church and his church did what? Crucified him. Have you guys ever heard of this word called church hurt? Anybody ever experienced, don't raise your hand. Anybody ever experienced church hurt? I tell you not to raise your hands. We complain about our church hurt, right? But look at the church hurt Jesus experienced. They just didn't hurt him. They did what? Killed him. What kind of church is this that when Jesus comes, they kill him? So this is a church that obviously has some problems. Thank goodness that church doesn't exist anymore, right? That church is gone away, right? But I, as I looked at this, I began to wonder, like, what is really going on in this text? And it made me think of another parable found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 19. Y'all know this one. Matthew 21, verses 18 through 19. Remember, the theme of this whole message is that song by Mary J. Blige, which he says, I'm searching for a what? Real love. Y'all can relate to that, because some of us are searching for the what? Real love. And Jesus is coming to this earth. He's coming to the church searching for what? Real love. So let's go to Matthew 21, verses 18 through 19. It says this. Early in the morning, when? Before you all wake up. As Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was what? Hungry. Seeing a what? By the road, he went up to it. Why did he go up to it? Because he was searching for what? No. Y'all missed it. Say it again. Real love. Y'all got to keep with the, I know, it's not your generation, so y'all can't feel it, right? He went there searching for food, but what did he find on there? Nothing except, then he said to it, may you never bear what? Fruit again. Immediately the tree did what? Withered. Immediately the tree withered. Let me ask you this. You ever been hungry? Well, I'll give my testimony. When I'm hungry early in the morning, I love to go to this one fast food restaurant, right? But it's not open on Sundays. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? It's not open on Sunday. We need to give them the message. So they're open on Sundays, but closed on what? Sabbath, right? Because especially on Sunday, where you wake up, you got some time, you're not rushing to go to church. I want to go to what? Chick-fil-A. I love to go to Chick-fil-A. The chicken is, oh, I got vegetarians in here, I'm sorry. But I got some chickens that are so juicy, and they got the egg on it and the cheese. I love it. And then they got these tater tots, right? I got the Chick-fil-A app, and every time I get a chance, I love to go to Chick-fil-A. Now, imagine now, on a good, since they're not open on Sundays, let's say on a good Thursday morning, you wake up, right? So, ooh, I feel like I'm hungry, just like Jesus was hungry, and I want some Chick-fil-A. So you drive by Chick-fil-A, or you check the app, right? Say, what's the closest Chick-fil-A? What time is it open? So it's about 7 o'clock, and the app says they open at about what time? What time do you think Chick-fil-A opens? 6:30. Somebody knows. You can testify, right? So you're good. It's open. It says it's open. You go up to Chick-fil-A, right? And the sign is on. And you see people even in the line at Chick-fil-A. And you know you want a nice breakfast chicken sandwich. So you go there, right? In fact, before you do this, nowadays you can order before you get there, right? So you put the order in before you get there. And then you get there and they ask you for your order. You say, hey, listen, my name is Sean Smith. This is my order. It's like, oh, we got your order. But guess what? We don't have any. We don't have any chicken sandwiches. How you think you're going to feel after you got up, you looked at the app, it was open. You got there, the sign was on, they was open. But they don't have no what? Chicken sandwiches. That's how Jesus felt. Like, oh, I'm going to my church. I dug around it. I put a wine press in it. I put a watchtower in it. I know I'm going to get me some good what? Fruit. I'm looking at the fig tree, right? And the fig tree has leaves. And if it has leaves, that means it must have what? Some fruit on it. He gets up to that tree, looking through the tree, not seeing no fruit. And the thing about it, it's a pretentious tree because it gives the sign that it has fruit, but it really has no fruit. And remember, this is a parable, so everything we see in a parable represents something that we're seeing today. So for Jesus, that tree represents who? Not just any people. Church people. The church members. You said church members. He goes amongst the church members and finds no what? Fruit. That's why he sings the song like Mary J. Blige. I'm searching. For a real, in fact, let me go to verse two of the song says this. Listen to this. Let me slow down. Ooh, when I met you, I just knew that you would take my heart and run. Until you told me how you felt for me, you said I'm not the one. Jesus coming to his church, he knew that we was the one. But what do we say? You're not the one. So what does he have to keep doing? So I slowly came to see all of the things you were made of. And now I hope my dreams and inspiration lead me towards a real love. He just has to what? Keep searching. And as I'm looking at this story, I was looking at this story about these leaves. These leaves bothered me. I'm like, what's going on with the leaves? Then there's another story in the Bible found in the book of Genesis, right? The book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, with some other people who had experiences with fig leaves, right? And so the Bible says that there was a certain people that God created and put them in a garden. You know who I'm talking about? Adam and Eve. They listened to the serpent, and then that they realized that they were what? Naked. And when they realized they were naked, the Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 3 that they sewed together what? Fig leaves, right? And so they sewed up fig leaves because they were ashamed at the fact that they were naked. And I wonder how often we find fig leaves in the church. You know, we get all dressed up, right? We come in and happy Sabbath, right? And we give an appearance of righteousness. We give an appearance of the fact that we're good, but we're really just covering it up with our fig leaves. Anybody ever had a fig leaf experience? You ever come to church and you say, well, can I sit here? And they say, what? No. Somebody sitting in that seat. Seats reserved, right? the thing about it, do we even really come to church looking for what Jesus says he's looking for? Right? Jesus says he's looking for what? What's the song say? Real love. Or according to the text, I'm looking for fruit. I'm looking for the what? The fruits of the Spirit, right? And I think we need to have a mindset shift that when we come together to commune with people, we should be looking for the fruits of the Spirit. But I think we're comfortable by just showing people our leaves. You follow me? You follow me? We say, oh, when I get up this morning and I go and commune with these people, I'm going to find real love. Somebody to set my heart free. Someone that when they see me, no matter how I look, they're going to come and hug me. No matter what kind of week I've had, I can tell them, and they don't care. They're not going to judge me. They're just going to give me what? Real love. Or do we say, oh, let me put on my fig leaves so I can hang out with other people that are wearing fig leaves just like me, right? And this is one thing I realized in looking at this text with Adam and Eve. And it gives us to the point where we can get the fruit that Jesus is asking for, right? In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells Adam and Eve, after he created them, verses 1, I believe it's 28, he says to Adam and Eve to do what? Be what? Be what? Be what? And do what? Multiply. It says be what? Fruitful and multiply. Then you go to Genesis 2:28. The Bible says, right? Before they sinned, the Bible says two things about them. They were these two things. They were and not a. They were, somebody say it louder. Naked and what? Not ashamed. They was what? Naked and what? Not ashamed. Let me just stay there for a minute. Naked and not ashamed. Okay? I know it's hard for us to understand that because there is no correlation with me walking around naked and not being ashamed. If I'm naked, I'm definitely going to be ashamed. But the Bible says in their nakedness, they were what? Not ashamed. How do you get to a point where you can be naked and what? Not ashamed. Let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at the fruit that makes so much sense. Mary J says, I'm searching for a real love. So let's look at real love and see if real love can give us an understanding of how we can be naked and what? Not ashamed. Y'all think about the move, the show, Naked and bring you back. Bring it back. All right. So we got Adam and Eve. What were they? What was their relationship to one another? Husband and what? husband and wife, right? They were husband and wife. The one thing you need to understand, in order to be naked, the first thing you need in order to be naked and not ashamed is you need a covenant. You need a covenant and you need a commitment. You know, y'all trying to figure out what I'm talking about, right? So listen, I told you I'm 50 years old. But several years ago, about 22 years ago, right? On October 10th, 2004, this beautiful woman came walking down the aisle and I bawled my eyes out. I was crying like I had no sense, right? And I got married to this wonderful person. And after the marriage, we had a good food, we ate, right? And then you have something called the marriage night. Anybody, any married people in here? There's a couple married people in here? Yeah, you had a marriage, you know, the night when you got married? You don't forget that night. What would you call it? Honeymoon. Y'all go from the same day you go on the honeymoon? So you went from the wedding to the honeymoon? Reception to the honeymoon? For real? You got on the plane after the reception. Who did that? You did that? By the time you get to the wedding night, y'all gonna be tired. Let's stay focused. Let's stay focused, right? So on the wedding night, remember the covenant, right? We got the covenant. On the wedding night, all of us were what? Say that again. Naked and not ashamed. You had the covenant, and then you had love that wrapped around it. Are you following me? You're following me? I mean, not me. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible, right? And so, in fact, he says he married them, he made them naked, and he told them to be what? Fruitful and multiply. So a condition to being fruitful is, one, we need a covenant, but also you need to be what? They don't want to say it in the church. I see some kids running around here. Let me make it clear. I see some children running around here, right? And that's a sign of fruitfulness and what else? Multiplication, right? And in order to create your fruitfulness and multiply, we needed love, we needed marriage, and we also needed what? And what else? Y'all just jumping over the word. I'll say it one more time, right? In order to be fruitful and multiply, you needed covenant, you needed love, and the text said you also had to be, thank you. You had to be what? Naked. Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, don't stone the preacher like they did in the text. But am I wrong? No. Is it making practical sense? So because this is a parable, let's bring it home. Let's make it real, right? So how do we be naked in this kind of community? Yep, we use a term now in therapy called being transparent. We use a term now, talk about being what? Vulnerable, right? And so what God is saying is within community, when you come together in community, you should be able to be vulnerable and naked, and those people not ashamed you, not judge you, but they're patient with you, they're long-suffering with you, right? And they encourage you and strengthen you with what you're going through. How would you feel if you had a rough week? How would you feel if you fell in sin this week and you was able to come to a body of people who if you are like the woman at the well and they ask you to go bring your man from back home and you say, well, listen, I ain't got a man, and then they reveal to you your body count. You've had five men, and the one that you're with now is not your own, but he doesn't condemn you. But what does he do? Wrap his arms of what? Love around you. Let me close out with this text. Let's look at Matthew 21 and 43. Matthew 21 and 43 says this. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who produce what? Much fruit. Much fruit. Now, let's go to John. You heard me talk about some experiences or give you some analogies. Let's look at what John 15 says. John chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. John chapter 15. Listen to this and see if you see anything comparable to what God is asking us to do. John chapter 15, verses 1 says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Does that make sense? We talked about this in Matthew 21. We talked about this in Isaiah. Let's keep reading. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even what? More fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, listen to this. Say this out loud with me. Remain where? In where? And I also will remain where? In you. Remember, I talked about parables. Things in the story or things in the word illustrate something real in the life. Picture this. I know this may be a little PG-13 for you. The Bible says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you do what? Remain where? In me. Where? And I what? In you. Jesus says, I want to be in you, and I want you to be where? In me. Y'all married people understand what I'm saying here. No, you understand what God is saying here. He's giving you an example. So how does that example relate to the church? You stay in the church, and let the church stay in you, and you will be what? Fruitful. You will bear not just a little bit of fruit, but what? Much fruit. Apart from me, you can do how much? Nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7 says this: If you remain in me, and my what? Word remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done what? For you. Is not the word the seed of God? If the word is in you, if the seed is in you, you will bear much fruit. Not just fruit, but what? Much fruit. Jesus is saying this in closing. Here's what he's saying. In the same way I told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, understand the concept I'm bringing to my church. I want my church to be fruitful, right? In order for my church to be fruitful, it needs to be an environment where people can feel safe within community, where people can be encouraged, where people can be strengthened. But most importantly, that my word is in you. So what we're doing now is we're speaking the word. The word is like the seed of God. And when the word is like the seed of God, you come together and you multiply and you bear much fruit. Ah, you're still not getting it. You're still not getting it. Let me say it to you like this. Where are my married people at? Here we go, married people. Now, it's important when you're married that you have something called date night. Y'all have date nights in your marriage? Now, what do you think are the ingredients of a good date night? Give it to me. What's the ingredients of a good date night? Y'all don't know. Undivided attention, right? Undivided attention. So typically, a good date night really is not always like a movie or a show. A good date night would be where you go out and you do what? Eat. You agree with me? Right? Say, listen, baby, we're going out to what? Eat. So you go out to eat, and you're sitting around the table, and you're eating, and you're what? Talking. All righty? You're eating and you're talking, and as you're eating and you're talking, you're what? Connecting. You're communing with one another. And if you take a look in the book of Acts chapter 2, and I think it's verse 42, the Bible says the early church grew because they stayed in fellowship with one another, and they looked at the apostles' teaching, and they also were in prayer, and they were also, guess what? Eating. Some people like to eat. So if you want to be fruitful, you got to have food, fellowship, and a good conversation. Just like any good date night. God is saying, listen, just have a good date night. Let's bring some food together. Let's talk about his word together. And as you commune together and be open with one another, you will bear not just a little bit of fruit, but bear what? Much fruit. Much fruit. Is it making sense to anybody? Is it making sense to somebody? But what God is saying, what the problem is when I'm searching for a real love, I'm coming to the church and finding what? Fig leaves. I'm finding no fruit. In fact, to add insult to injury, when I come to the church, what do they do to me? Not just stone me, they what? Kill me. Would we do that if Jesus came into the church today? And so what God is saying, listen, I'm giving you this story as a warning, right? I'm giving you this story as a warning. So you can't say, I didn't tell you, right? I tell this to my kids, right? I say, listen, I'm going to tell you this, and then if you do what's wrong, then you will receive the consequence. Then you will receive the punishment. So he's saying to us today, the church, I'm telling you this so that I don't have to pluck you out. I'm telling you this so that I don't have to throw you out. So when I do come, you already are warned. Oh, my goodness, here he is. I better give him some what? Real love. And the song of Mary J. Blige speaks to us. Let me just read this, the last chorus, and then we'll close out. The last chorus. She says this in the last chorus. Love so true, and oh, baby, I thought that love was pure. That your love was true. I thought you were the answer to the question of my mind, but it seems that I was wrong. If I stay strong, maybe I'll find my real love. So I try my best and pray to God he'd send me someone real to caress me and to guide me towards a love my heart can feel. Now I know I can be faithful. I can be your all in all. I give you good loving through the summertime, winter, spring, and what? Fall. Jesus is saying, listen, I want to provide this real love. I'm searching for some real love. And all we need to do, like the bride of Christ, is to say, Lord, we accept your love. We're going to be open. We're going to be kind. We're going to be patient. We're going to be loving. We're going to be long-suffering. And we're going to produce the fruit that you're looking for. We're going to produce the fruit that you came for. Not give you fig leaves, but the fruit of love. Anybody want to commit their souls to God tonight, this afternoon? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've taken us through this parable. Lord, and we've seen in ourselves that, Lord, we haven't lived up to what you've done for us. Sometimes we've given you things that you're not asking for. We've given you fig leaves. But, Lord, change our hearts, change our minds, change our souls, that we can provide the fruit that you're seeking for. The fruit of love, the fruit of patience, the fruit of kindness. But Lord, we can't do that of ourselves. We've got to be connected to you. We've got to be in communion with you. So Lord, as we go through experiences each and every day, help us to rely on you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let everyone say, amen. Amen.